This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
A person that believes in Allah and His Messenger for the past 2 weeks has felt an inexplicable weight on their heart. They felt this pain inside of them. When we see the difficulty and the tragedy that befalls our brothers and sisters worldwide, and specifically, more recently, our brothers and sisters in Palestine, and even as recent as this morning, Al-Aqsa, the sacred masjid in Al-Quds, in Jerusalem. May Allah Ta'ala uplift them from their oppressors. Ameen. This is something of a proof of belief, though. The Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught us that when the believer sees that the ummah is going through a challenge or difficulty, that part of the hidden benefit in even the most tragic of circumstances is that the believer can look within themselves and they can see if they feel a sense of sensitivity, of pain, then they know that this is a sign of belief being strong in their heart. Whereas Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, He describes to us that the hypocrites, and when He talks about the hypocrites of Medina, He described that when the Muslims were being tested or tried or put through tribulation, that they didn't feel anything. They didn't feel a single ounce of pain in their chest. And the reality is that when we feel these moments, the heart of the believer begins to feel sadness, and then when it's put through enough time, then the person's heart and their mind start to ask a very difficult and very critical question, which is, why is this happening? Why does this happen? In fact, this question is so challenging to the heart of anyone with iman that even the people who have identified as enemies of the Palestinians are actually saying this. If you look online on Twitter and social media, they're actually saying, why would your God do this to you? Why would your God put you through such difficulty? And when a believer hears this, when a Muslim hears this, the natural consequences, they start to think to themselves, I don't know. That's a really good question. Why would Allah put people who are praying in a masjid through such difficulty? Why would Allah allow for Muslims around the world to gather and raise their hands in the sky and cry with tears from their eyes, saying, oh Allah, help us? And the next day we wake up and more bombs are being dropped, more orphans are being created, more families are being separated. Why? And this is something that can actually really tear apart the faith of a person to the point where they come to their own realization in their moment and they say, I don't know if I can believe in this. I don't know if this makes sense to me. One of the greatest arguments that people have about leaving religion is pain and suffering in the world. How could God exist if all this is happening? But what we fail to realize when we struggle with that question is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala beautifully already taught us the answer to why this stuff exists. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us in the Quran that this will happen. It's not a question of if, it's a matter of when. And when it happens, there is a supreme divine wisdom that only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is 100% aware of as to why it's occurring, but there are ways in which believers can process the pain that they see. In the ayah that I quoted in the Arabic part of the khutbah, it comes from the 29th chapter of the Quran, Surah Al-Ankabut, translated as a spider. Allah Ta'ala begins, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Alif Lam Mim, أَحَسِبَ النَّاسُ أَن يُتْرَكُوا أَن يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ. A very interesting question. Allah Ta'ala says, do people really think, is it really the case that everybody thinks that they will be able to make a claim that we believe? Amanna, we believe, we are believers. Wahum la yuftanu, and they'll never be tested? Allah Ta'ala is asking us to think critically about something. Do you think that a statement, a proclamation, is going to save you from the difficulties that are part and parcel of this life? Does it make sense logically that a person can utter one word and all of a sudden now any challenge that they would have would disappear simply because they said one thing? Does that sound like it makes sense? Allah Ta'ala tells us, no, that's not the case. And then He continues and tells us why these tests happen, why they occur. وَلَقَدْ فَتَّنَّ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. Allah Ta'ala says, without a doubt, we also tested people before you. You're not special in this regard. This isn't, we're not targeting you. You don't have to think to yourself that no one's been through this before. In fact, when you look at Muslim history, the history of the Anbiya, the history of the Salihin, and the companions of these prophets, you'll see that the tests that they went through were not only present, but in some ways even greater. And so while we're not saying to diminish the test of any one person, what we're saying is, subhanAllah, when you see the pain that you're going through, and you look back and see that others went through that pain, there is a therapeutic element to that experience. To know that you're not alone. Because being alone, being left alone, is part of the misery. We visit Al-Quds, alhamdulillah, every year. May Allah Ta'ala allow us all to pray Masjid Al-Aqsa, just like this. Say ameen. Unreal, beautiful experience. You can't compare it to anything else. And we go there, and when we visit with Sheikh Abdel Nasser and myself and the group that we take, we always make it a point to talk to the locals. Let's talk to the Palestinians, the people in Jerusalem, and learn from them, and talk to, and hear from them, the words from their mouth. So we talk and have conversations with everybody, young, old, man, woman, everybody. And subhanAllah, you know what we ask them? We say, we are Muslims from America. And they're so happy. They say, ahlan, ahlan, right? Ahlan wa sahlan, right? The famous Palestinian, it's almost like their motto. Welcome, welcome. Come, come, come. At the end of our conversation, after they've served us kanafa and tea and ma'mool and everything, you know what we ask them? We say, do you have anything that we can help you with? Is there anything we can do? Do you want us to fundraise, campaign, anything we can do? You know what they tell us, brothers and sisters? The first thing they say, don't forget about us. They say, we feel forgotten. We feel like the forgotten people of the Ummah, that nobody remembers us. Nobody plans to visit Jerusalem. Nobody comes to pray in Al-Aqsa. People are planning their trips, of course, Mecca, Medina, of course. But then after Mecca and Medina, it's vacation everywhere else. And they say, what about us? Are we not your brothers and sisters? Right? And so you look and you see that the people being tested, subhanAllah, everywhere, when you find that their tests are happening, they don't want to be left alone. They're not saying that our tests are gone. They know, the Palestinian people know that we are being tested. But when we ask them, what do you want? They say, we want your company. We want to know that you're there with us. We want to be able to see and look around and know that the Muslims have not forgot about us. Because we're here doing what we have to do. But will you remember us? And this was one of the beautiful traits of the Prophet ﷺ. When he received revelation for the first time, and he went to his wife Khadija radiallahu anha, do you remember what she told him when she was trying to reassure him that everything was okay? She says, "Wataksi bil ma'doom, you take care of those people that everyone else forgets. You're there for everybody." So Allah Ta'ala presents us these tests as an ummah in part because there are moments where we can prove that we are in fact an ummah. That we actually care. That instead of buying ourselves everything we want this month, that Eid, alhamdulillah, we're gonna load up on gifts and, you know, try to get a house before they're all gone apparently, or get that new car, we're gonna think deeply about what it means to be an ummah. That maybe it means that instead of buying myself three pairs of shoes, I get myself one and I send two to the people of Gaza. Maybe it means instead of having the most luxurious feast for dinner, now that Ramadan is over, maybe it means we cut down on our menu here so that we can send some food over to Gaza. Maybe that's what it means. Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ فَتَّنَّ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ, that people in fact were tested before. فَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا. Why? What's the point? So that Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala can make it abundantly clear to you and to everybody else, who is telling the truth? What truth? La ilaha illallah. When we make that statement, La ilaha illallah, it's a claim. Allah Ta'ala is telling us that when you get tested, your resolve, your strength, your patience, your determination, whether or not you give up in your dua or your prayer, all of that is an evidence. Did you pass or did you fail? And if I find myself weakening and giving up and losing hope, then maybe this claim of La ilaha illallah in my life is not as strong as I once thought. Maybe the beard and the kufi and the jubba and the abaya maybe those things are not as strong as I thought they were in my heart. وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ الْكَاذِبِينَ And we will also make known who is lying. Who is lying? Brothers and sisters, the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, when it came to tests and trials, he never once promised any person in the ummah that they will never go through them. He never once told us that by being Muslim, you are now free from all difficulties in life. This was never a guarantee. And so we should never think to ourselves when we're being put through this, whether on a micro or macro level, why us? But the Prophet ﷺ said something very powerful when he said, عَجَبًا لِأَمْرِ الْمُؤْمِنِ How amazing are the situations of the believer that what? أَمْرُهُ كُلُّهُ خَيْرٌ That every single situation, كُلُّهُ لَهُ خَيْرٌ It's the best situation for this person. وَلَيْسَ ذَلِكَ لِأَحَدٍ إِلَّا الْمُؤْمِنِ And it's not the case for anybody except for someone who has belief. That your iman makes you see the world constantly in a way that is progressive and optimistic. How? He says, in أَصَابَتْهُ السَّرَّاءُ شَكَرَ فَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُ If good things happen, if Allah tests this person with good, because good can also be a test, you can forget about everybody else when Allah gives you the wealth, when Allah gives you the health, when Allah gives you what you ask for, you can forget about everybody else. But they remember Allah, then he says, this is good for them. وَإِنْ أَصَابَتْهُ دَرَّاءُ صَبَرَ فَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُ And when they are tested and they are tried with this difficulty, that they are patient and this is what's best for them. Brothers and sisters, remember in every test you go through, whether it is in your own life, personally, or whether it is something you see on the news universally, remember that the way we respond is ultimately telling us whether or not we have succeeded. The success is not about whether or not the test goes away. If the test stays, that doesn't mean we failed. And if the test goes away, it doesn't mean we succeeded. The failure or the success is purely dependent upon what happens in here. Am I closer to Allah or further away? Have I decided to pray Fajr at the masjid or am I going to give up and stay at home and maybe not even pray at all? Have I given up my du'as completely or have I become more firm in my du'as? Have I stopped giving sadaqah because what's the point? Or have I become more generous in my charity? These are the signs of success and failure in tests. We ask Allah Ta'ala to allow us to pass all of our tests. We ask Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala to give us the tawfiq to always be on the right side of situations in life. We ask Allah Ta'ala to grant patience, strength, and perseverance to the entire ummah, no matter where they are. قُلْ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَلِسَائِلِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ الْمُسْلِمَاتِ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. Brothers and sisters, we don't have time for this part of the khutbah, but I wanted to give everyone a little bit of homework, and that is to go tonight and read the surah Yusuf, chapter 12 in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent this surah down to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam literally at the hardest moment of his life, the most difficult time of his life, the year of sadness, the year of grief. Allah ta'ala sends an entire surah, an entire story of this prophet Yusuf alayhi salam. And he, Yusuf alayhi salam, is put through so much difficulty. You can't believe it, the things he has to go through. And the interesting thing, subhanAllah, was as he's being put through test after test, you know what's crazy? He made the right decision every time. He did the right thing every time, but he still got tested more. He never made a mistake. Don't tell your brothers about the dream. He didn't tell them. They still put him in the well. The woman who's trying to seduce him, he didn't fall for it, still gets put in prison. The lessons are amazing. What is Allah Ta'ala teaching us? That your failure and your success are not about whether or not you have tests, but it's how you respond to the test that you have. Knowing that you passed is the reward, and knowing that you failed is the punishment. We ask Allah Ta'ala to protect us. We ask Allah Ta'ala to forgive us. We ask Allah Ta'ala to cure everybody who has illness. We ask Allah Ta'ala to protect everybody from harm and evil. We ask you, O Allah, to give victory and to give patience and courage and steadfastness to those Muslims all around the world who are struggling, who are being oppressed, including but not limited to our brothers and sisters in Palestine, in Al-Aqsa, in Gaza, and all over the world. Ya Rabbil Alameen, we ask you to purify our hearts. O Allah, we ask you to keep our families united. O Allah Ta'ala, we ask you to bring our families closer together. O Allah Ta'ala, we ask you to allow us to be a united community, one that supports one another, one that prefers one another over ourselves, and one that constantly will stand with each other. Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad, kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim fil alameen, innaka hamidun majid. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون أقيموا الصلاة